What's up, folks? It's a foot-loosing edition of Hitting Other High Notes. Jazz talking. I am here. The voice on the other end here is, of course, at Who Trans Superman. That's H-U-U-T-R-N Superman. Or you can follow the podcast account, like I always say, at Jazz High Notes number. I have to re-sign into the account today. We got new work computers, and I was trying to sign in, and I was like, why is this not working? I know I changed my password, and I was like, oh, yeah, I have to add the number 2 to the end of it because RIP original Jazz High Notes account for, I don't know, threatening Elon or something. I don't even know what I did to get suspended from Twitter with that account. Unfortunately, Go the Distance 49, Jared Barkey's metaphorically driving the bus right now. You know what I'm saying? And then Dragon Squash just so upset with the team. I assume he's like, you know what? Fuck this Jazz team. We're done. I don't know. No Dragon Squash this week. But, he highlights the highlighters. He's wearing a Colin Sexton jersey in honor of Colin Sexton today in the black and yellow. It is Alma Bean 23. What's up, Alma?
Just trying to gather my thoughts after this game. Colin Sexton was doing pretty solid. And then, he decided to give a nice right hook to the chair before going to the locker room.
Well, one dribble away. I tell him to quit his job, and the best way to make money is to do sports online betting, Alma, and you can do that with Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and with all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
And we got a special guest. We haven't had a guest in a while because, the 11 p.m. start time is hard for people to get on. But you know what? This guy, he's saying that he can do it. And this is no longer a Footloose edition of Hitting the High Notes. This is Hitting the Jackpot with Art Cummings. Art, take notes of the brand new Jackpotting podcast. We've been talking about these guys for the last couple of weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new to the Jazz Pod Co-op, excuse me. Art, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I mean, look, the people have been asking. Like, they're like, hey, you need to cross pod. It's time to do it. Get on. This is like when I'm a family man, like when Steve Urkel was on Full House, Like, this is as momentous as that was having a guest star from another podcast. We've asked David Locke, but he's always said no. So we'll take even better than David Locke, the Jackpotting podcast. So thanks for coming on again. It's late night. 11 p.m. I mean, it's late night for most people. For me, it's like
For us, this is like afternoon.
I'll be up for another 4 hours after this. But we're recording tonight, Wednesday. March 6th. The Jazz, lose a heartbreaker to the Chicago Bulls. The curse of Michael Jordan lives on. I'm not too much to say about the game. The Jazz, this is a great, and obviously on the Jackpot and podcast with Art and Chad, team convey or team keep the pick, actually. This is great. This must be a great game for you, Art, because the Jazz competed, fun game, went down to the last second, and they end up losing and helping their position to keep the draft pick for this year.
Yeah, I don't think you could really ask for a better game than tonight. We got some nice Bryce Sensabaugh minutes. He was playing awesome. We got 35 Colin Sexton minutes, which is more than I remember him playing in a long time.
Yep.
And like you said, just competitive game all the way. I thought the ending was super fun with the little skirmish we had. We had the assistant coach putting his hand on.
I called it a scuffle.
Yeah, for sure. Putting his hands on John Collins, and then John giving him a little shove back to his seat.
What a weird sequence. Because, for those who didn't watch the game, the Jazz are down 3, with 20 seconds left. The Bulls do the thing where they foul you, push you on the line. They don't want you to shoot the 3 to tie. They want you to shoot free throws. They get down to the other end. The Jazz foul DeMar DeRozan. It looks like DeMar DeRozan's a very good free throw shooter. It looks like this is going to be one of those, the Jazz are not going to be able to get a 3 off. They're just going to keep doing free throws back and forth. And the Chicago Bulls gift the Jazz with a technical free throw, which you don't see very often. It was many, what's it called? Just weird things happening. at one time. And I was like, all right, cool. So the Jazz actually had a chance to win the game, tie win the game at the end there.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
Yeah, like especially with how it went down too. Because I mean, like, why is Torrey Craig saying anything? Like, dude, you are in street clothes to start. Like, I'm sure Colin Sexton, just personality wise, like he probably said something in the heat of the moment, just because he's energetic and he's gonna try and get under somebody's skin. But like, why is Torrey Craig the guy that's gonna step up? But then, if I'm not mistaken, the assistant coach, his name is Chris Fleming.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he just wanted to be baptized by John. I think that's what it was. Because, I mean, John was baptizing everybody on that Bulls roster tonight.
St. John.
St. John himself.
Baptizing everybody.
So, like, I mean, maybe Chris Fleming was like, I need to repent. And, like, after he shoved, he was like, oh, wait, let me get under the basket real quick. Right. I need to be cleansed. But who knows?
So a game that the Jazz, you know, no Larry Markkanen, no Walker Kessler, no Keontae George, no Taylor. Like it's one of those weird things that, we're at the point of the year where people are just like, okay, we actually are not watching for wins and losses anymore. We're watching to see the development of rookies. And all we have is number 27 pick, Bryce Sensabaugh, right now to develop. We're watching a lot of THT minutes, a lot of Johnny Juzang two-way minutes, you know, yippee. A lot of people want to see Johnny Juzang. Like, they're all remembering Johnny Juzang from, say, you know, 20 years ago. Hitting a couple shots against like BYU in the tournament, and they think that's the same guy there. So
absolutely not. I mean, shoot, from the one game that you guys had me go cover for the Salt Lake City Stars,
yeah.
I think he finished the game like 4 for 14 or something, right. And like he had wide open shots. I mean, I was honestly waiting for Michael Potter to get like some sort of stint tonight, but like it just wasn't coming through. Once, you know, THT started doing THT things, I thought that maybe they would give the nod to Kira Lewis Jr., but they decided to keep the game close, so I didn't get any of the wishes I wanted.
Right. Michael Potter, I mean, I've heard of some things, not a very hard worker in the gym, I guess.
Very big complainer.
He
wants every call as if he's the star of the league, and like, it's just not the case.
Know, Alma trying to go to as many Stars games as he can this year, and the problem is that like the G League, we talked about this before. I don't think the G League is too far away from how good the NBA competition is. That it's hard. You know, people are out there tweeting out like, "Hey, Taylor Henderson wouldn't be this good." If he was sitting on the bench, and you know, maybe that's right, but I don't think the G League minutes are a huge part of his development. You know,
well, because you noticed that he started making a jump the more time he spent with the team. Because I think that a big influence on it is that he's getting practice minutes with the team. Like he's actually going to be involved in the schemes rather than being like, oh, you were with the Stars last night. Yeah. If you want to come and sit on the bench and you know watch. Hopefully you remember something.
They're trying to do things in the G League for the Salt Lake City Stars. So like, okay, these are the same sets the Jazz are watching, doing, playing. So you're going to be up to speed. But the speed of the game.
Yeah, the speed of the game itself is going to go ahead and make a huge difference. Right, I mean, the first like 2-3 games that Taylor Hendricks was in, yes, his defense shined, but on offense, people were like, what are you doing? Just go sit in the corner. That's how it looked to me.
So Art, I again, you're a brandy pro. I don't know if you guys have talked about this. And I mean, this is stuff that was talked about at the beginning of the year when Taylor Hendricks was going to the G League. The people were like, you know, there's a 50-50 split, like whether it helps a player or not. Where do you land on G League minutes for top, you know, 10 lottery picks?
You know, me personally, I'd rather just have him playing with the regular team and just kind of getting thrown in the fire. I don't think it really helped him that much.
Well, sorry. What I guess I should clarify: getting minutes with the G League team or being on the bench and getting the minutes being sparingly throughout, like garbage time minutes. He's not going to be a rotation. He was not going to be a rotation player because of the Jazz had at the position, right? So
I guess 5 minutes per game and garbage time.
Yeah. So I guess that's the question: is that would you rather him be on the bench, not playing, or in the G League playing?
It's a hard one. Obviously the one I would rather have is him getting minutes, but versus him sitting on the bench, I think getting some G League minutes isn't bad for him, only because he was injured during the summer, so he missed Summer League, and I think Summer League really helped Keontae. So I think in his case, getting minutes in the G League didn't really hurt him at all. I do think going from playing in the G League, where you're the best or second best player on the floor, to playing again with like the actual team and you're the fourth or fifth best player on the floor, I think it's a big difference for your game. So I don't really take too much from the G League. But I think in his case, because he missed the summer league and was injured for a while, I think it did help him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I like I'm still – there was that list of, like, players who were top 10 lottery picks that played G League, and then none of them really did any – like, if you play 1 minute in the G League, it's usually a death sentence on your NBA career. To be a top-tier, you know, multi-time All-Star, multi-team, multi-time All-NBA player, I guess.
I mean, I don't with Taylor Hendricks though, like when you're drafting him, I've said this before. I don't think you're drafting him to be that 25 points per game type of player. You're drafting him to be a 3-and-D type of guy who you hope can be a little bit more, give you more than just shooting the three on the offensive end. So I wasn't expecting him to go down there and drop 40 points a game. That's just not what his game is. So, I mean, when you look at it that way, I don't think it's too bad. I mean, Gobert spent some time in the G League. There's been some guys that have that turned out good.
This list was only for top 10 guys. So, like,
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was only for top 10 lottery picks. And you know, look, I guess that's just people's expectations. Like, if my expectation was, I hope the Jazz drafted at 9, you know, a guy that's going to be a top 10 player in, 5-6 years, then, you know, this is disappointing to me with what Taylor Hendricks is doing right now. But if he's going to be someone like, all right, cool, like, you know, a solid role player, a solid starter, but like not an all-star / all-NBA player, then Taylor Hendricks is on the right track. So it's basically what people's expectations were when they drafted Taylor Hendricks, I guess. So.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I think with the 9th pick, you do kind of, as a fan, you want them to shoot higher and to take a shot at a guy who can be that number one guy. I feel like Keontae has a better shot of doing that than Taylor Hendricks, and he was drafted at 16. So it just, I mean, it just really depends, you know.
Which is funny because, Alm and I, we work at a news station, and we were talking to an anchor Sunday night as we were leaving. And the question was like, who do we think has better star potential? And again, so if I'm talking about like top 10 star potential, I still think it's Taylor Hendricks because he has the archetype you can't teach, right? He's at the length. He's this long, like, you know, Siakam or Giannis, right? Like guys that, well, you know, they're so physically good, and there's nothing like them. You know, there's no prototype like them out there. And, you know, not only that, they have an offensive game, plus they're so great on defense that they changed the game. I think Keontae has a better chance to be a good player, like maybe like a one-time all-star type thing, because he has a better floor. But I think Taylor has a better ceiling to be the top 10 player, I guess, if that makes any sense. So,
yeah, for sure. Because of his like his defensive ability, I just think Taylor has a long way to go on the offensive end, whereas Keontae, he's advanced and he's a better NBA player than he was in college. I just feel like watching Keontae, he doesn't seem like a rookie to me. He seems like he's been around for a little while. He struggled, obviously, to begin the year, but I just think Keontae has a more advanced offensive game and can continue to grow on that. I think he could be like a 20 to 25 points per game scorer. And Taylor, I think he would have to develop his offensive game a lot more to do that. But I do believe in his two-way potential a lot more than Keontae. So if Taylor can develop that offensive game, I agree with you that he does have the higher ceiling.
I was hoping Logan and Jared would be here for me to ask this, but you know what? Maybe we'll ask them next time. If I said, okay, you know, next season, who is the Jazz number one player? Like, who are they going to, you know, focus their build around? Alma, who would you say is that player they're going to build around?
Like their entire roster or just amongst the rookies?
Just amongst the entire roster. And their entire roster.
So entire roster, Lowry's going to be number
Lowry? One. Okay, so Art, do you have is it Lowry or is it somebody else?
I would hope that we try to trade for like somebody better than Lowry, but I think as of next year, it's probably going to be around Keontae and Lowry, to be honest with you.
So like if the Jazz are trading to get someone that's better than Lowry, I guess then that's sort of the, you know, Lowry's your number one. Your number one, because like you're looking to maximize Lowry's potential, his prime, his contract, all that stuff. Okay, and then and I think Lowry, there's a chance that Lowry could be it. Can the Jazz get somebody else better than Lowry? I don't know. That's good. That's the hard part, and that's the Jazz have a lot of assets, and see if they can turn that into something. The danger I think with that is that we're sitting here saying, hey, Lowry's the Jazz's best player. They want to get somebody that's maybe a 1A to go with his 1B or a 1 to go with his 2. Art just said he's looking for somebody better. Alma, we've talked, this is a question I ask every month. Is Lowry at that point where you think he's the number one and you just need a number two like Jaylen Brown or Trae Young or Zach LaVine? Somebody that could be a 2 that's definitely not a 1.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, Lowry, I don't think is a definitive one, but based off of the roster that Utah has, he is forced to be that number one.
No, and I guess it's my when I say one, I think one is an NBA leading one, someone that can lead you to title. And so I guess the other options are
he's a faux one.
Yeah, the other options are Taylor Hendricks, Keontae George, obviously the two rookies, Colin Sexton.
Yeah, because like if I was going to go ahead and look at the roster the way it is currently, mm-hmm. like I would probably say that like 1, 2, 3 is going to be Lowry, Sexton, and then Collins.
John Collins, interesting.
That's my 1, 2, 3.
Oh boy, I would not want to I liked John Collins for a long time. I just don't think he can. He's playing fine now. I don't think.
But that's what I'm saying. Like he's my 3. Like that's not. Yeah. In my opinion, I don't think that's 2 out there. Because, I mean, if you go ahead and look at
when you
his
say
production.
Three, he's the third best player of the Jazz.
Third best player. Okay. Not a small forward.
But no. I thought you were saying he's like the third, like, number one option.
Oh, no. I'm saying, Lowry Markkanen is being forced to be the faux one for Utah. Right. Colin Sexton is going to be a solid 2
faux
option. Show. And then.
Full show.
and then John Collins, the entire season, he's been sneakily good. And a lot of people don't want to give him credit until it's the moment that he does something wrong and, we need him off this team.
Great rebounder. So,
which Utah doesn't have because everybody who can rebound for the Jazz apparently wants to get hurt often.
I don't even know if Walker's a great rebounder. but, okay, so
anything about Walker?
Yeah, I guess the point I was trying to make is that so there are a few different ways the Jazz can approach this. I know we're 20 games away, but 20 games, when the offseason starts, if the Jazz want to build around Lowry, if they can get somebody that's better than Lowry, I think it would be very hard. But if they can't do that, do you still want to build around Lowry? That's the thing. Is that do you want to build around Lowry or do you want to move on to, okay, now we're going to build on – now we're going to focus our build around Taylor and Keontae because in that case, you're probably going to trade Lowry at some point. You might trade half the guys that are on the team right now because you're like, okay, if your timeline is if you believe or if you don't believe any of the guys on the Jazz right now, Lowry, Keontae, Taylor, you're still looking for a 1. I think that's where the Jazz are. I still think they're looking for a 1 next year.
And I mean, you can't put it past Danny Ainge to trade away a fan base favorite because I mean, he's done it often. He has done it enough to be recognized for such tendencies.
Yeah.
Just look at his tenure in Boston.
I mean, he did it after 1 year with the Jazz. So,
because very first thing he did was get rid of Antoine Walker.
Yeah. So.
And then, win a chip. Oh, let's get rid of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Ray Allen, let's let him walk.
That's how it is. That's what we do on this podcast. We sometimes talk about offseason stuff, probably a little too early, but I've just been thinking about the Lowry and number one, and if it's really Keontae or Taylor, what confidence do you have that the number one is Lowry, Keontae, Taylor, whoever it may be, is on this Jazz team next year?
I don't think if our goal is championship aspirations, I don't think our number one is on the team at the moment, to be honest with you. And I really love Lowry. I love the rookies. I just don't I think this offseason is a big one coming into it, because how many more years are we going to put off building around Lowry? And I don't think the front office wants to build around Lowry. I think Lowry could be a very good piece on a championship team, but I don't think they're going to build around him. And this offseason, if a star doesn't come available, are we going to push it down the road another year and hope that another one comes available? Or are we going to trade Lowry and then kind of just roll with the young guys. And then that would mean getting a very high pick in the loaded 2025 draft. I think it's going to go one of those two ways. I don't know how much longer we can keep like kicking the can down the road without a true number one. And I think it would be very hard to build around Lowry to be the number one player on a championship team. I think everything would have to go right and it would have to be perfect. And I just don't think the front office is going to be banking on that, to be honest.
Alma, and this is why Jackpotting Around is the number one Jazz podcast in the sphere at this moment, because of takes like that. So
yes, sir.
Art takes note.
Thank you for the kind words.
You're welcome.
Hey, we're just spitting the truth. Yeah, that's all. So, that's all.
Yeah, we are truth bomb spitters now. Speaking of jackpotting around, so we have you here. Art, Chad is not going to be able to join us this week. He's also driving the bus metaphorically with Jared.
And okay. So, okay. That's something I never saw coming.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, hopefully we have Chad on next week. But we have you here. First of all, let's talk about you. Like I don't think I've seen your account until like just last month. You know, the funny thing about Jazz Twitter is that like now with the Elon algorithms, like I don't have to follow a lot of Jazz fans. You just, you know, when people interact, you see it, right? And then, you know, we started seeing a bunch of your takes pop up. I know that when you did the Tony Jones episode, that was a big one. And Alan was like, oh yeah, this is the Art Takes Note guy. And I was like, I never heard of him. But then, you know, after that, I was seeing you guys a lot. So
Elon was listening.
Elon was listening. So tell us about yourself. Art, like, when did you, or like, is this a new Twitter account, or had you just been around and we're just noticing you now? What's going on here?
Yeah, so I haven't honestly been involved with Jazz Twitter up until like last year before the draft, and I always just like lurked on Twitter, like was reading Jazz Twitter, didn't really get involved. I don't know if you guys heard of the fan site jazzfans.com. It's like a forum where you can you talk to other fans. I've been posting on there probably since I was like 10 or 11, to be honest. So I've been talking about the Jazz for a long time, and I wanted to kind of just branch out to other Jazz fans on Twitter. And there's a lot more people to talk to. There's a lot of better discussion. I feel like there's a lot of smart people on Jazz Twitter, and I started it back in May, just fresh. I didn't really have an idea. Like, I've always wanted to kind of do like a jazz podcast. I've been looking around for other jazz podcasts to listen to. That's how I came across you guys, is just kind of searching on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, just Utah Jazz Podcast.
We made it.
Yeah.
We did it.
And we just don't have, as jazz fans, we don't have very many podcasts to listen to
for like pandemic times. So obviously hitting the high, like Alma, I'll tell you this, like we've been around for 5 years. My first episode was in March of 2019. Like it's coming up like in a few weeks, like the 5 year anniversary when I first started this. And then, you know, Mark of the Twos and Threes, they were on and off for a little bit. We had the Jazz Gals with McCoy and her name is escaping me, but the Jazz Gals were great. We had Brian Priest and McKay do podcast. Like, you know, for a minute, you know, post-pandemic, there was a real good, and now David Locke has sued them all out of commission. David Locke has taken his iron fist and just wiped them off from the face of the planet.
He locked on the Jazz podcasts.
So I'm glad that, I mean, number one, like, you know, patting ourselves on the back and like, you know, we've been around for a while, the High Notes here.
Yeah, for sure.
And
for sure.
I know what the Tony Jones bump will do to your podcast. Like, I mean, your numbers just spike up really well. So it's really good that you got him. You got him really early on in your tenure here. My next question is: are you an industry plant, or are you super rich? Oh, I'm sorry. That question is for a different guest that we might try to get on. So I'm sorry. As Art takes note here,
says, now they'll never come on the show.
Art takes note talks about So he said he was posting on OnlyFans for good jazz content, because, like, you know, but he's trying to get better jazz. That's two jokes in a span of a minute that Alva's not ready for. But so yeah, so you started jackpotting around. Number one, it was like one of these things, because I remember like Alma was here in the office, and I go, oh yeah, there's a new podcast. There's a name that escapes me because it's just I can't figure out what it has to do with jazz, and so it didn't click around to me. Jackpotting around, where'd the name come from?
So it comes from the legendary coach Jerry Sloan. Back in the day, he had a famous quote where he was talking about Fasinko, if you remember him. He said he's just jackpotting around out there. He's not doing very much. So it's an ode to the great Jerry Sloan. He used it a couple times in post-game press conferences, just a way to describe how the players were playing when they were playing bad was jackpotting around. So that's where we kind of came up with it.
Dragon's Clutch would love hearing you say that. And, yeah, so, you know, big Jerry Sloan. So, yeah, it's a great quote. I guess that reminds me of the other jazz podcast that's around. That's behind a paywall, though, the Sarah Todd one. I can't remember the name of that one. My mind just goes away at midnight.
So. The Unsalvageables, I think. Yeah, I haven't listened to it, but I've seen it.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, the podcast grind, like, we're new. We're about eight episodes in. Yep. We have a couple of post-game ones. Like, it's real and it's hard. And, like, for you guys to be around for 5 years, yeah, like, it's super impressive, honestly. Like that's very impressive.
2022, when the Jazz were, like, the number one team in the league, it was crazy because, like, I mean, Logan, Jared, and I were getting on every, like, 2 or 3 days. You know, big wins. Like, we were just talking about everything. Like, we talked for, you know, I try to keep it to an hour now, but, like, we were talking for 90 minutes. We were doing a lot of stuff. It was just a fun time for the Jazz. And it's hard. It's hard right now in the lean times right now. I'm doing this podcast. I've been doing this podcast with an average of 3 listeners every episode. One of them is now Alma's mom. So that's bumped up to 4. But we lost we lost one because Logan's mom doesn't listen anymore. I've essentially absorbed Highlighter Highlights into this podcast.
Which, by the way, Highlighter Highlights was the podcast that I did for the company I worked for, the Hive Sports. Yeah. And
worked is a generous term there.
Yeah, I did it for fun.
Yes.
An unpaid internship that turned into, hey, if you want to keep on doing this, you are more than welcome to. And,
yeah.
I mean, it got me through Jazz Twitter and allowed me to circulate and got me here.
Right.
So.
And then, like, all this, you talked about, it's hard, like, the grind of, you know, number one, like sometimes, like, you know, I literally did 2 episodes of conveying a pick in the same season. I was like, well, we talked about this once already a couple months ago. Let's talk about it again. So it is, you're right. It's kind of hard to, like, what are we going to, like, you know, I sat down, I'm like, I actually don't know what we're going to talk about today. And luckily we got through the first segment really easily.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're here and, you know, and now we're doing the interview with you and figuring out, you know, jackpot. So what kind of struggles did you guys run into when we're starting the podcast here?
I mean, the biggest thing is just kind of like I was saying earlier, I'm new to Twitter. I'm up to like 400 and something followers now. It's a slow grind. Yeah, it really is, man. Like, no matter how good of, like, posts you put out, no matter how good of content you put out, it's a super slow grind. And I think the biggest thing is just getting some listens on the podcast and getting it spread out there. And it's harder even when, like, right now there's not a lot of positivity going around the Jazz because we've been losing a lot, and you lose a lot of the casual fans. So I think that's the hardest thing right now.
That was, like, the best. Again, you missed out on, you know, the number one Jazz, and, you know, it just happened. Like, Alma and I work in TV right now, and the same thing happens when the Jazz are good. You feature them more because people are more excited to watch them. When they're constantly losing, you're trying to find, like, okay, well, what's the bright spots? And, you know, people enjoy that. You know, like, this weekend we talked about the rookies. This episode was like a lot of people are watching just for the rookies right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem
for
is
sure.
Without the wins, it's just people they don't really care to, like, when you have a big win, like, you know the Jazz beat the Warriors last year on the last second shot. When the Jazz were number one team in the West. In the NBA, excuse me, people wanted to tune in, like, to reignite the high they got after the win.
100%.
Yeah, so it is interesting that you're coming into a time where the Jazz, you know, for the second year in a row, sort of doing a soft tank, I guess, you know, after the trade deadline. Maybe tanking too late. I mean, last year I was very angry about it. This year, with the draft being a little more spread out where the talent is, doesn't seem like that big a deal to not have the top pick this year. But, you know, another tank, you know, a lot of people equate success to linear. That success has to be linear, and it looks like the Jazz are just, you know, not really going backward or forward. They're just kind of staying stagnant. And I think a lot of people in Jazz, you know, the Jazz fandom right now are just upset with that. I know Logan asked us about it last time he was on, talked about it. It's like they're doing the same thing again. What's different from this year and last year? I was like, last year, I think the prize was way more prominent, I guess. This year, like, I'm sort of team convey only for the fact that I just want people to stop talking about it. Like, if the Jazz convey the pick this year to Oklahoma, then we don't have to worry about, you know, next year being in the bottom 10 and the picks flops in 2026. We can just be done with it. For me as a fan, it's just less space in my brain that it takes up, I guess.
Which, by the way, for those of you keeping track of where the Jazz are currently with their loss tonight, it puts them right at the 10th pick.
Yep.
So, keeping the pick.
Congratulations to whoever's number 11. They're jumping into the top four. So,
hey, I think we're gonna end up close to eighth, honestly. I think so. We need to end up ninth. And kind of to piggyback off what you said, last year it was a little bit harder because we didn't expect Lowry to be as good as he was. But I do think we held on to, like, guys like Mike Conley a little bit too long. I think we could have dealt him before the season, but I think we wanted to, like, extract as much value as we can out of those guys. And unfortunately, we ended up ninth overall. And coming into this year, I mean, it's hard to expect us to be super bad when we have, like, Lowry and Colin Sexton. So, I'm like you said, I'm less upset about it this year because you kind of know coming in that we have good players. We're not as bad as some of these teams like the Wizards, the Pistons, the Spurs, the Hornets. Like, we have better players than them. But last year, it definitely feels like a missed opportunity because we could have probably – if we just dealt Conley because how good he was playing and how good he was setting guys up, I think that honestly could have pushed us into, like, a top six pick.
Yeah, I think Superbad is a good movie too. So, I really like – that was a good time in my life, Superbad. Alma, yes.
Well, I was also going to say, speaking of the Wizards, another thing with the draft picks, with their loss, the Jazz now have the 31st pick.
The 31st pick.
You know, just keeping an eye at the tail end of that draft.
We're watching the Thunder, the Jazz, and the Wizards. If they all lose, they make those picks better.
Yep, I'm sitting here still trying to convince myself that there is a diamond in the rough. I'm telling you, the amount of times I have watched, like, college film on the prospect players, I'm struggling so hard to find people that I can be like, I want them on my team. And I know that you've heard me say this a lot in the office. Matas Buzelius, that's really the only guy that excites me in this draft.
Only because you know how to pronounce it. That's the only way, because you say it feels good rolling after, like, Buzelius.
Buzelius.
Yes. So,
I mean, he's like
Franz Buzelius.
Buzelius. But he's like a Franz Wagner 2.0 for me. So, like, I would really like to see that. My only, like, knock on him is that he's a G League Ignite guy. And,
so,
you know,
far.
how many Ignite guys have made that transition well?
Yeah.
So that's my only thing.
I don't know. I think you're kind of selling the draft short a little bit, though. Like, I think there's some really good players around where we're going to draft. I know this has been, like, pegged as, like, a really bad draft, and it's because it doesn't have the same star talent at the top. But where we're going to be picking, I think that's where the strength of the draft is, from, like, 5 to 14. There's not a bunch of differences, so I feel like where we're going to be picking, there's a chance we can pick up a pretty good player. I like guys like Reed Shepherd, Cody Williams.
I do like Cody Williams. I will say
so.
Buzelis is good too. Ron Holland. I think all those guys. Yeah.
Holland, I'm iffy on, to be honest. That one I'm still not sold. But, I mean, like, if you go ahead and get, like, a Johnny Furpe or even, like, a Khalil Ware, and then even local guy Dylan Jones, really like how they play. But, I mean,
everybody in this draft, I do not see them as start right away type of guys. I see them immediately as just role players and probably stuck there.
I have a hard time. Holland, I think Holland's pretty good, but I also like Garfield and I like I screwed that joke, so never mind.
there's a lot of good guys in this draft though. Like honestly, when the draft comes around, we'll talk ourselves into a lot of these guys, and obviously it depends where we pick. Like I think like guys like Dalton Connect, he's good. Stephon Castle, he's good. Like there's good players in this draft. We'll be all right.
Missy is also really good from Baylor. He's solid.
All right, I remembered it now. It's I like Holland, but I don't know if I like him better than McGuire and Garfield. So
Where you were going.
That's where I was going with that.
Multiverse, got it.
So with Jack parting around, so you guys have just started eight episodes. That's probably for us, like we're now weekly, but you guys are probably doing 1 to 2 a week right now. So it's only about a month and a half old.
Yeah, just a little over a month, actually.
A little over a month. So, yeah, so, a couple episodes. What do you do, for your full time? Because in podcasting, Alma and I, we have to start 11. It works out for mostly everybody on our podcast. We have a group of four. Like, we just keep adding people. what do you do, in your real life that you're like, all right, I can podcast on the side?
Yeah, so I work in healthcare. I work in,
So you're not an artist. I thought you were an artist.
No. No. So I get off work like around 4:35, which allows me, and I stay up late too. I have little kids, so after they go to bed, it's time for it's me and my time. Wife. And
ooh,
yeah, for me sure. Time.
Driving the bus.
So it's easy to make some extra time throughout the week because I do get off around that time. And right now I would be up anyway. So when you said you guys recorded this time, I'm like, I'm down. Let's do it.
It's like F yeah. Time. Let's get on here. Yeah.
11 p.m.
That's exactly what I said.
11 p.m. is the, cause it's funny. Cause my friend, I do a gymnastics podcast too. And we have a midnight standing time because, her and I just have weird sleep schedules. And at midnight, I am sharp and ready to talk about gymnastics. At 11 p.m., I'm ready to talk about the Utah Jazz. So that's cool. So, for those who haven't heard, I was a Jazz fan, probably I'm almost 40. So, I was there for 97, 98. Alma, you're a little bit younger.
I was in my mother's belly.
Yeah.
'97.
But your first real big Jazz team was the D. Will Boozer. Mm-hmm. What were your first memories as a Jazz fan, or what was the big Jazz team that of your youth, Art?
Kind of the same as Alma. I was one or two when the Jazz made the final.
I'm old.
We'll start figuring out what your plans are for AARP soon. Maybe Art can go ahead and take care of you.
So you're a big D. Will Boozer memo team guy, right?
So I'm kind of in the same boat as Alma. I was one or two when the Jazz first made the finals back in the late 90s. So my first big best Jazz team I remember watching was the D. Will Boozer, Okur, Karolinko teams that made the conference finals against the Spurs and had all those battles against the Lakers. So that's my earliest fondest memory of the good Jazz teams that I remember.
Yeah. So I'm sort of a I'm again the old man that was there for that team and that. That Darren Boozer, that was the team that I could buy tickets. I was old enough to buy tickets to go see. So. We Derek Fisher coming in that game against the Warriors, still probably the most electric moment I've ever felt.
For sure. That was one of the best moments as a Jazz fan watching, for sure.
I do have to say one thing before we move on. He's done. He's parked the bus. He's pulled out. And this is 49, Jared Barker. Welcome back to Hitting the High Notes, man.
What do you want? What do you want?
Well, no, just kidding. Just saying hello, man. Just saying hello. We're here, Jared. Finishing up our interview with one of the hosts of Jackpotting Around. So we're talking to Art here. Art. You're about Alma's age. As you said, you're late 90s baby. How have you again? You guys didn't get to really experience the 90s when the Jazz were just, and the NBA was different. I'll tell you right now, the NBA was pre-1999 was just a different, not just the game speed, like everything was different. People weren't jumping around. The free agency wasn't this huge thing. The trade deadline
felt like they were less adversarial towards small market teams.
Also, like, to put it into perspective, the score that the Jazz had by halftime today was the exact same score that they had in Game 3 '98 Finals. So something to consider, so just changing the game.
No, the Game 3 of the '98 Finals is an aberration. That was, like, the lowest scoring playoff season the Jazz
I'm not even talking about the speed of the game, but, like, you know, just NBA was, like, just the business was dealt with differently. And so, like, the sustained goodness of the Jazz back in the 90s was actually a good thing. Like okay, these guys have won a championship or even made the finals before 97, but they're consistently playoffs, you know, second round, sometimes semifinals. Even when they, like, went backwards and lost in the first round, it wasn't like people weren't like, okay, this team needs to be blown up. Just that wasn't how it was back in the 90s, and that started to change in the 2000s. So Art, you know, we're in a different era of NBA basketball. You know, we talked about that how fun that, you know, Darren Williams, the Boozer, but my friend Sam, who we work with here, he says that team never they got to one conference finals, and that was it. And that was because sort of a fluke, not a fluke win, but because the Warriors beat the Mavericks, who probably would have beat the Jazz that year. They never really accomplished, quote-unquote, accomplished anything. The Jazz with the Donovan Mitchell and Rudy, I mean, they never got past the second round. How do you feel as a Jazz fan, like, right now? Because the Jazz are obviously in a rebuild, trying to figure this stuff out, and they don't have sustained goodness to fall back on. Where are you feeling right now as a Jazz fan?
I feel like it's really hard to win in the NBA. It's really hard to get over that hump. And right now, I do think it's like some necessary pain. I do think trading Rudy and Donovan was the right move. I think that team just kind of hit its ceiling. I don't think it would take a lot. It would have taken a lot for that team to make the finals and then let alone win it. So I think the right move was selling high on those guys, and we wouldn't get as much as we did for them then as we would now. So I think that was the right move. I think it's necessary pain. I think we've been super spoiled as Jazz fans, even missing those late 90s teams. Like, a lot of the Jazz teams that I've watched growing up have been good. They've been playoff teams. We did go through the kind of like that rebuild during the Ty Corbin era, and that was super hard to watch and be through. But ever since then, like, we've been good. We've been playoff contenders. We've been in the second round. Obviously, we haven't made the conference finals again. But in the end, it's just really hard in the NBA to make the conference finals, to make the finals. So I think right now, I just hope we do it right, and we give ourselves a legit chance of being good and giving us a chance to actually get over that hump. I would just like to make the conference finals and obviously make the finals. I think that would just be awesome, because obviously it's only happened once in my lifetime so far. So
it'd make my move worthwhile.
Right, right. Yeah. I'm from Florida to Utah. So as you said, you were only fanzing around with Jazz fans online, and then you went to Twitter. So, like, how did this podcast get, like, how did you and Chad get together and, like, decide, you know what, we want to make a podcast, and you kind of have to be different. You can't just be out there. Like, what were your ideas for this podcast?
Yeah, so Chad is another one who posts on Jazz Fans a lot. We still do. It's just been like a core part of what
Wait,
we have
is
as Jazz Fans.
Jazzfans.net or whatever?
.com, yeah.
.com.
Yeah, so and I feel like we're two of the, like, I don't want to sound like arrogant or something, but, like, we're two of the better posters on there. We had a lot of, like, good conversation, a lot of deep thinking about the Jazz. And we just kind of wanted to broaden the audience. And we feel like we have good things to say and good content to put out. So we kind of threw the idea around a little while. And then we met up in Summer League this past Summer League when Keontae was going off. And we were like, dude, let's just start a podcast. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. And then we just kind of decided to jump in and go for it. And I'm just super glad we did. And, like, it's gonna be a it's still a slow grind. It's gonna be a slow grind. But just having guys on like Andy Larson and Tony Jones early has really helped us. And I know both of those guys. Like they've posted on Jazz Fans before. I've had conversations with them before. They both like follow me on Twitter. So just having that like connection with them has been super helpful so far. And I do think if they didn't like what we post or like what we talk about, I don't think they would jump on. So I think it does give some credibility to us and the podcast itself, you know?
Get ready for the huge bump you're going to get after this, after tomorrow. Cause once this episode hits, the hitting the high notes bump is like thousands. So, I just checked out JAZFans.com and I will definitely be posting there a lot more too, guys. So thanks for that.
Cool, man.
Oh, the inside baseball on that is too good. Too good.
Hey, if you know, you know. If you know, you know. So you guys, I'm gonna start. So, what's the mission statement of Jazz Potting around? Like, you're like, hey, we're just two guys and we got thoughts. Is that kind of it, or like, I think Mark of the twos and threes. we just saw a bunch of Jared Belly on Zoom there.
That's for the spicy site.
I was taking off my jersey to touch, you know, that Dragon Squash is with us in spirit.
Hey,
thanks to Robot Shane.
I was like, whoa, we're getting those OnlyFans preview over here from Jared.
So. I didn't realize I had a free subscription. Whoa.
All right, so it's like we have the twos and threes, right? We have Mark and Doug, who are like brothers, basically, you know, kind of giving their thoughts. They got a thing. Jazz the Gals was like, again, a fun format. Hearing Jazz thoughts from two women Jazz fans was a lot different than what the rest of us are doing. David Locke is the numbers guy, right? What was your mission statement when you were like, we want to be able to just talk Jazz with when I first started this, it's evolved, but it was like, I want to talk to people on Twitter. I want to talk to people that, you know, are in the know, but also just people like you, Art. We've talked to just random Jazz fans. Like, hey, how did you become a Jazz fan? You know? So, was there something when you guys first started, or like you guys just like, you know what, let's hit record.
So essentially we just want to like talk deeper about things and talk intelligently about the Jazz. I feel like a big reason why we wanted to jump into it too is I feel like there's a lot of guys with a lot of followers on Jazz Twitter and just around with like websites and things that I feel like are kind of misleading or don't tell the whole story or Yeah, and they're disingenuous with Jazz fans, and I just don't like that a lot. So we just kind of wanted to combat that and put out intelligent stuff and not sugarcoat it and not just make it seem like everything's okay or like just think like deeper and differently about the Jazz and just kind of help educate people about other situations versus just some of this other stuff that gets thrown out, like we're gonna tank for Cooper Flagg next year with Lowry Markkanen.
Yeah.
On the team, that's not going to happen.
And I think that's why
I
enjoy listening to you guys because I'm very similar to like what could we kind of do here. I see a thought that's on Twitter, and you know, you only have so many characters, and I see people talk about it, and like it's hard because
you gotta clarify for me. Are we talking THOT? Because you look at a lot of thoughts on Twitter.
you see conversations and people, and it sometimes devolves because people only have so many characters and you're trying to like yell into the echo chamber. And that's why I thought, like, hey, let's bring that stuff to the podcast where you can have minutes, you know, you have 10, 20 minutes to sit there and talk about a certain thought and expand upon it and really get people's like thoughts and stuff. So that's, I thought that was exactly. I think I understand what you guys are doing. And it's nice. It's good. You know, so and you guys are on Apple Podcasts. That's a big thing. That's where you're going to get a lot of listens from Apple Podcasts. A little inside baseball. The hitting high notes are most of our listeners are from Singapore. I don't know why, but you know, there they are. So
a lot of Jazz fans.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. We get a lot of Singapore, audience from Singapore. You're on Apple Podcasts already. You're on Spotify, whatever podcatcher you use, TM Brian Priest, go out there, go follow jackpotting around with Chad Lowe. You know, Art's on Twitter at Art Takes Note. Chad Lowe is he's not. I don't think he's related to Zach Lowe. His profile picture is Colin Sexton, so maybe he is. I don't know.
Maybe that's Sexton.
He's really Zach Lowe.
It is.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So Chad Lowe's at jpotting around. Sort of has to do the same thing. I think jackpotting around was probably too many. Like hitting the high notes is too many characters for Twitter. So that's why it's Jazz High Notes, right? So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So So anything else? Like so, anything that you can spoil or like you want to tease. Coming on the jackpotting around, are you gonna have Dragon Squash and Alma on? You can have them.
Yeah, I mean, just hit me up.
They're a good guess. You know, he highlights the highlighters.
We have to give the people what they want. They want a continuing like crossover between our two pods, and I'm down for that. I like I said, I enjoy you guys' pod. You guys literally make me laugh every single time I listen to it. So definitely like
Tiger like having you guys pump. On.
So, I do think going forward for our pod, I think you'll see Tony Jones as a recurring guest quite a bit.
Nice, good job.
Intriguing. Yeah, for sure. I think we're kind of just kind of testing on who we can get out there. That's another hard thing. Like if they've never heard of us or I don't have a ton of followers on Twitter, so got to get some more credibility to get other people on.
Right. You know? Beat writers are such a great resource because like we've had Tony Jones on. I think Sarah Todd's been on twice, maybe just once. I can't remember now. Twice, maybe once or twice. Because I just talked to her like often outside of you know Jazz games and stuff.
I don't think we ever tricked Andy Larson into coming on though. So no, Andy, good job.
Andy refuses to acknowledge me. No, I'm just kidding. Andy,
maybe that's where you send me in since I've already been embarrassed saying like, "Oh, right. You made me want to get into this business." Maybe yes. I can like guilt trip.
We've had the KSL guys on. Yeah, Sam Farnsworth has been on a few times. A couple of KSL producers have been on here, so.
We had Matt Haskell, isn't that your homie? I'm saying his name wrong. One.
Right, yeah, Matt Glade, Hemuli.
Matt Glade, yeah, Glade.
Matt Glade, Hemuli. Again, you know, we're getting to the part of the Jazz season where guys like I think you guys have all fallen. I don't say fallen in line with me, but come to my island where I was like, you know, the wins and losses just don't matter this year that much. And we're kind of getting to the point where, I mean, they matter a little bit now for the team convey versus team keep the pick. Again, go on the podcatchers. Go follow these guys on Twitter. Follow their podcasts. Good times. I mean, if you like what we do here, I think you like what they do there too. A lot of good, smart, deep conversations. Jared, how was driving the bus? Hope you did well.
I'm on puppy duty, so it's that's what the noises were earlier. You know, that growling and stuff.
Oh, all right. Whatever you say.
That's
man.
A new hey, category hey, for yeah, me.
Exactly. anybody want to shout out there, Jared?
Well, shout out to my roommate, Dallas Wood, a.k.a. Tarkin Tangents. And yes, puppy duty. He's a little black. You know.
Okay.
His actual dog. Actual puppy.
That was asshole. A long pause.
The pregnant pause. I was like, yeah.
Are we following up with that? Or yep. What are we?
Yeah. Well, that's Snoop. He's
All I'm saying is like, Gemma, you are doing a visual bit for an audio medium.
Yeah. You're like, there's a little black.
And you're then, right for an audio form. Hey, you said we were on Zoom, so I came prepared with video.
You think that Spotify is going to show this video?
Yes. Yeah, so.
No,
it's like that looping video that they show for like 10 seconds when you go ahead and play a song. It's that looping Jared. 10 second video.
Okay, Snoop. Snoop is my roommate's dog, but I've been taking care of him for the last week or so.
Alma, is there anybody on Jazz Twitter that we need to shout out?
So I would like to shout out Jordy at Jordaline 17. Yes. She's kind of been getting more involved in Jazz Twitter as far as I'm aware, but she's been very interactive with my stuff and. She came to the game tonight with her family, and we were trying to coordinate a way to go ahead and meet each other. Yep. And, you know, family wanted to go home, rest. I understand. Yep. But I just want to go ahead and say that I am thankful that she is interacting with all of our content.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully that goes forward. And, Yeah, pay it
please,
forward.
Please send Alan money so he can buy more items of the game. Like he wanted the, he was not
I wanted nothing to do with that item in the game tonight. It was god awful.
Hey, yeah. there were some things up on the second row that were like $10 a pop at the little.
So fun fact.
There we go.
If you do not want to pay full price for any item of the game, if you wait till the next game and go up to the second floor, it's always the previous item of the game.
Or the game after that. Or the
yeah,
game
as long
that.
As they still have a size available, they'll still sell it. Like they still had those for her National Women's Month sweatshirts available, and I think they dropped them down to like 40 for this game.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I'm not 100% sure on that one. But yeah, always any leftover item in the games always end up in the second floor team store for like $10.
Yeah.
And if they don't have enough room for them, they're behind the cashiers. And you can always ask them just like, hey, what sizes do you have left for that? And they'll usually cut you a deal there.
Yeah.
But,
oh, all right.
But yeah, you know,
so
little
was,
things.
I was waiting to get the shirt from...
I think that they would need to employ me first, and that would go ahead and almost convince me to get that shirt.
Follow Alma. He does a lot of stuff for the Hive. Unpaid, but he does stuff from the Hive Sports .com, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that shirt just like a basketball? Like right. It was an all.
They tried to make it. They tried to make it look 3D, and it did not. It fell flat.
It was more like 1.5D.
It was like Matt. It was like Madden on like a regular just plain black tee, and I was like, I couldn't even read the print.
Well, and the thing is, like the basketball's on the back of the shirt, and then there's an itty bitty jazz note underneath it in yellow,
right.
Which you would think if it's in yellow you would be able to see it. No, I had to find it. And then the print that said Utah Jazz and on the front, they minimized it on the actual printed shirt than what was on the ad. That's why I do what I do,
yeah.
Because nothing matches.
Alma will send you a picture of the item of the game.
What it actually,
I'm glad you finished
like
that.
Versus yeah. What they said it looked like.
If you Venmo him the proper amount of money, he might even buy it for you.
Yeah, I'm like, there are so many jazz fans that want to go ahead and have like jazz merch, but it's always super expensive. And I understand the item of the game is sometimes a little pricey, but I mean, it's a little bit that you can go ahead and have and say, oh, that was for this specific game.
I just want the free shirts they give away.
They have to make it to my section if I can take any of those.
And then
I haven't seen any free shirts for a while.
It's been a minute.
They haven't done any since the in-season tournament.
It's been a minute. So, all right. So follow Alma Bean at Alma Bean 23 for all that stuff. You know, we're getting cheeseburgers because of him. So
yeah, free cheeseburgers.
No chicken though. No chicken this tonight.
Yeah, so. You know, free with a $2 purchase.
Oh yes.
Free
cheeseburger. And Art, thanks for coming on late night here. Art at Art Takes Note. Go follow him. He has more followers than the Jazz High Notes page already, actually. So. He's already doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Old High Notes page had a lot of followers.
It did. And then,
and then you said something negative about Jordan Clarkson and got it banned.
Once it got banned, they were like, oh, we don't need to follow this guy anymore.
Elon said, we need to put him on everyone's ban list.
Right. So I was like, you know what? It's fine. So, yeah, like I said, hey, you know, 5 years coming up, guys. 5 years of hitting the high notes. We outlasted them all. We're like the cockroaches of jazz.
It's like that photo of a regular
Honestly,
show where it just shows all the graves and it just skips.
Yes.
I can't believe I thought McCade and
Brian.
Oh shit. Yeah, I thought they were gonna last a long time, but I think their schedules kind of
Brian got a new job, and it's hard. You know, podcast, and this is advice for Art here, like podcasting and. You know, you get what you put into. I would not break the bank trying to podcast, but it is a fun little thing to do. Like, I mean, look, I've upgraded equipment in the past 5 years, obviously.
Fun hobby, man.
It's fun. You know, we get on here, we get to talk about the Jazz. And really, that's just, you know, it's a good way to vent as Jazz fans sometimes, even when we're not venting, you know, sharing and doing all that stuff, so.
But, you know, a lot of things you expect to last a lot longer than it actually does, so, you know.
There you go, yeah.
Don't set high expectations. Don't expect to last too long. Just get the job done.
I'm proud of you. Art, you get the last word here.
You've been hanging around with Hu a long time, apparently.
Listen,
you boiled down his philosophy into, like, two sentences.
Art, you get the last word here. Plug yourself, plug your podcast, and tell people why they should be following at Jackpotting Around or Jackpotting Around on any podcatcher you can find.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you again for having me on. I have enjoyed my time. I hope we can do it a lot more in the future, and hopefully you guys can come on ours as well. Hey, Alma, I was promised something from your closet for coming on, so if you just want to send me a picture.
I will uh-oh, send you.
Uh-oh, he didn't tell you what it was going to be. You're going to get the Alma special jazz underwear.
It's going to be a bra.
It's going to have three holes in it. You're not going to know where the holes came from, but you're just going to know that they're all specially made for you.
I offer a lot of Alma stuff to listeners. It reminded me, like, somebody who won Trade Deadline Bingo. I need to get them something. I will get you
the Rudy Gobert item of the game French Knight T-shirt.
I had one of those. Yeah.
I think I'm good on that one. You got something better?
You're asking about an item of the game. Better is very hard to find.
I wore my Alec Burks jersey tonight.
You get what you like.
Nice.
You get what you get, and you'll like it.
Exactly.
Again, follow.
Yeah. So, just go ahead. Follow me on Twitter, please. @ArtTakesNote. I try to do my best to put out like intelligent and good posts. Follow Chad at @JPottingAround. Listen to our podcasts anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We're on pretty much everything. We appreciate any like rates, any listens, any downloads. It all helps us out and helps us put out some good content for you guys, and listen to this pod more too. What's
the
up?
The follow-up episode you guys had to the Tony Jones episode where you were theorizing on what player I thought was an interest that he was talking about that he couldn't mention by name, I thought was an interesting listen. So I'll give you that plug too, because honestly, you guys have an interesting dialogue, interesting conversation every time I listen, and I just appreciate that, you know, that you guys aren't just like engagement farming. You're actually, you know, you care about the team, and you're podcasting because you care about the team. Honestly, it always shows through, and I appreciate that about you guys.
Secretly,
thanks for the kind words. I really appreciate that. No, there's no way it's Trae Young, because anyways, yeah, I appreciate that, Jared, but it really means a lot. Any feedback that anybody wants to give us, positive or negative, is just going to help us grow. And listen to this podcast more, guys, too. You guys literally make me laugh every single
time.
Who Alma, Dragon Squatch, all you guys are funny. It's a nice like different podcast to listen to. If you just want to listen to some guys talk about the Jazz, yep, and be funny and have inside jokes, it's just like hilarious, you know.
We're trying to get our fifth listener. David Locke might listen. Who knows? So,
hey, 5 years, five listeners.
We got to build it up every year. Right?
There we go. So, Jackpotting Around, hitting the high notes, the twos and threes. I think that's Jabber Jazz when they come back. Highlighter highlights.
Oh, yeah.
All part of the Jazz Pod Co-op. Also, we're part of the B-League Network. We should probably talk about the actual network that we're part of.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are a part of a network. That's very impressive.
This is like our third network that we're part of. So
we can get the money to upgrade the equipment. Talk about the
$3 a month that they're giving us.
So we should probably talk about the network. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Who's getting $3 a month? Yeah, I'm being robbed.
Give me the price picks, folks. go follow the Jazz Pod Co-op pods. We're the Jazz Pod Co-op. It fluctuates, it changes, but we're always here. And you know what? We're 19-ish games left of the NBA season, and then the nightmare will begin next season. So thanks for listening. For Alma, for Jared, for Art Takes Note. We'll see you guys next time.